Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Get Healthy Now. It appears that so many people are suffering from stress these days, which shows in their actions, reactions, lack of commitment, exhaustion, the way they drive, lack of focus, and so many more ways. My name is Denise Thompson, and I am qualified to talk about this with my background in the medical field for over 50 years, being a wife of 42 years in a few months, a mom, educator, and health professional, as well as a best-selling author of a stress reduction book. Today, I really want to address how stress affects our sleep and what we can do about it. So, stress affects sleep. It prevents you from being relaxed in the morning when you wake up. Getting up during the night, groggy, irritated in the morning, not wanting to get out of bed. 7 out of 10 adults in the USA experience stress daily. What are some things, you know, that we noticed? Number one, they're sleep-deprived people, and they are more likely to be stressed out. Science has found that every hour slept before midnight counts twice as much as the hour slept after midnight. Avoiding stimulating your brain synapses to fire at a high rate before going to bed, and do deep breathing or stretching to calm you down before going to bed so you can fall asleep quickly and deeply. Those are just a few things. Now, some tips on how to sleep better and not be affected by stress. Stress does not allow for deep and relaxing sleep. It robs you of the hours you need to rejuvenate your brain, your body. Once again, every hour slept before midnight counts as double time, whereas the hours slept after midnight are not that deep with the REM cycle in your sleep. Not sleeping well can also be due to sleep apnea, where you stop breathing for a short time as your glottal tissue covers up the windpipe. If you're experiencing this, gets tested for sleep apnea. So there's the CPAP helps you sleep better and allows relaxed waking up in the morning. Actually allows you to wake relaxed in the morning. Take a hot bath or a shower before going to bed. This helps you to relax. Have a clean and uncluttered bedroom, helping to create a sanctuary for yourself. That's something very peaceful, which helps you to relax. And if possible, leave no arguments unresolved before going to bed. Those are just some of the highlights. Now, I want to dig a little bit deeper. See, even I can make mistakes. That's okay. And I saw a couple of them in my transcript already. Don't worry about it. As long as you understand what I'm saying, that's all that matters. So since I have been telling you and sharing with you that I'm actually an certified independent health coach, and I do talk a lot about stress release and health, which includes healthy body, healthy mind, and healthy finances, I really want to hone in on this stress factor. Because I've been observing how irresponsible so many people are driving. And honestly, what actually triggered this in me was that I've seen all age groups being on the cell phone, looking down while driving, changing lanes without blinking, putting the brakes on before blinking, that they want to go right or left and then still go straight. I mean, those are all things that are so dangerous on the road. And I personally don't know if I can do that, but from what I have witnessed as a sign of sleep deprivation, anxiety, stress, that people just feel like they need to be faster and better. And yeah, better is good if you do it in the right way. But faster is not always better. It's not always more productive. So let's look into a few things that I want to hone in today. So, I did read you the signs of stress and tips on how to sleep better. So there are things about a morning routine and an evening routine, and I'm going to get to that in due time. Stages of sleep. There are actually four stages. The first one is sleep latency. Time to fall asleep starts when you turn out the lights. Stage one is a light sleep. Stage two, brainwaves slow down, resting the parts you use while awake. Body temperature drops. Stage three, deeper sleep, restorative. Delta waves dispersed with smaller, fast waves. Stage four, especially recuperative, restores and recharges the body. Delta waves almost exclusively, essential to sleep process. And the last part is the REM, R-E-M, the deepest sleep, characterized by rapid eye movement. That's where the R-E-M comes from, rapid eye movements. Body, arms, and legs, otherwise motionless, dreaming, active brain waves similar to when thinking. It may seem like nothing's happening while you sleep, but your brain is actually going through a series of important stages that make up a complete sleep cycle. We typically experience 4 to 6 90 minutes a night, the daytime equivalent called ultradian cycle, help determine your energy levels. We will discuss this a little later. So what is sleep apnea? I mentioned that up before because that is something that can hold you back from sleeping well. It's a sleep disorder characterized by snoring and airway obstruction that results in 10 seconds or longer periods of non-breathing during sleep. Is caused by excess weight, primarily fatty tissue in the neck. Because it interrupts the sleep cycle, sleep apnea can actually spur further weight gain, which then exacerbates the sleep apnea, creating a vicious cycle of increasing weight and deteriorating sleep. So it's quite interesting how this is actually happening. So next point I want to make is why we sleep. And that is quite interesting. 10,000 years ago, everything we did was determined by our circadian rhythm. During the daylight, we were highly productive at the full-time job of surviving. Like a squirrel in the fall, we were busy scurrying around to build a shelter, securing abundant fuel for the coming winter. Yet once the sun went down, our light-sensitive pineal glands released melatonin, making us drowsy between sunset and sunrise. This powerful hormone sets us up for sleep by cooling our body temperatures, lower our metabolic rates, and moving us into a sleep latency stage. Feeling drowsy, we would find a safe spot to rest and acquire restorative sleep to be ready for the next day. 98% of our programming and our DNA is tied to this rhythm, and it kept us resting highly fit and strong with unlimited energy. Our alertness kept us from wandering out and becoming prey. Artificial light changed everything. Gaining control of natural light with our discovery of fire and our ability to control it extended our waking hours, but it was Edison and the development of the light bulb that started disturbing our natural sleep and energy patterns. Then came television, computers, and smartphones. Today, our sleep debt, the amount of sleep we sacrifice hour by hour each night, is also having a profound effect on our work performance. The level of depression in those that have sleep issues is 5 times greater than those that are healthy sleepers. Just 30 minutes less than the ideal minimum sleep of 7.5 hours to 8 hours might not seem like much, but the effects of this amount of sleep deficit were notable. Survey responders have responded poorer workplace performance, tiredness, with over half admitting to struggling to stay focused in meetings, taking longer to complete tasks, finding it challenging to generate new ideas. Along with a lack of focus and diminished creative capacities, participants also indicated a reduced motivation to learn and were less able to manage competing demands. Along with emotional impact, sleep deprivation can take a toll on your cognitive abilities, including perception, judgment, reaction time, and decision-making. In fact, 17 hours of sustained wakefulness, such as a long day in the office, has been shown to result in behavioral changes equivalent to drinking 2 glasses of wine. If wakefulness continues for 24 hours, you may act as if you have drunk 4 glasses of wine. Diminished cognitive performance can have huge repercussions of professionals whose job demand critical attention to details such as surgeons, pilots, and drivers. And I could mention even some others. Unfortunately, it has become evident that the effects of a sleep-deprived workforce can be disastrous. The Three Mile Island nuclear meltdown, the Chernobyl nuclear explosion, the Exxon Valdez oil spill, and the Challenger space shuttle disaster were all the result of human error caused by sleepiness. Whether it's improving workplace productivity or averting large-scale disasters, better sleep is clearly better for business. What we can say is that scientists have observed over longer periods of time that chronic sleep, lack of sleep, can lead to weight gain, adversely impact learning and memory, compromise your immune system, elevate your blood pressure, increase inflammation, shorten lifespans, create symptoms of ADHD, contribute to mental and emotional health issues. Those 8 points broke my heart because, number one, I'm dealing with a lot of people who have done a lot of weight gain. I'm also dealing with people who have compromised their immune system because they didn't sleep enough. So the immune system went down. And there are things you can do to increase your immune system, one of which is, or some of which are, healthy eating, smaller meals a day in regular intervals so your blood sugar doesn't spike or drop too low. Hydrate, which does not mean drink anything, but it means mostly drink water. That's the best hydration fluid. Now, if you need a little bit something else, like a Gatorade or something, make sure you don't have too much sugar. The sugar actually makes you sluggish afterwards. It increases. You know, when you don't sleep enough, you have more pains. And they're not just growing pains. They're actually pains from inflammation in the joints. And one of the biggest joints that suffers the most is pretty much, or are pretty much the knees, because everything above the knees rests on the knees. They have to carry it, and then it goes down to the ankles and the feet. So when you see swellings and stuff like that in the ankles and feet and the knees are aching, start looking back. What is causing this? Did I injure it? No. Okay. What did I do yesterday? The day before? How well did I sleep? How many hours did I sleep? Was it a restless sleep, or was it a restful sleep? Did I wake up in the morning ready to go, just be happy and healthy and move? Or did I say, oh my goodness, I want to sleep some more. I want to stay in bed. Those are all indicators of our health. Actually, there's some more. Did you know? It turns out that sleepy driving plagues about 60% of adult drivers, which is 168 million Americans have driven a vehicle while feeling drowsy in the past year alone. Alarming, 37% of adult drivers, or 103 million people, have actually fallen asleep while at the wheel. 13% of those who have actually fallen asleep at the wheel have done so at least once a month. 11 million drivers admit that their sleepiness has caused an accident or near accident. According to the National Highway Safety Administration, 100,000 police-reported crashes per year are the results of drivers sleepless, and this is severely underreported, since it is currently very hard to assess sleepiness as the cause of crash. Drowsy driving could be as dangerous as driving while intoxicated. Wow. I mean, how does that make you feel? Now, how can you evaluate if you're getting enough sleep? First things first, are you getting enough sleep? Answer the following questions to find out. Do you wake up tired in the morning? Lack purpose when you get up to start your day? Need a nap in the afternoon? Fall asleep watching TV? Have frequent small accidents at home or large ones on the road? Have trouble focusing on the job? Find yourself sleepy after lunch? Feel irritable or depressed most of the time? Feel like you're not getting anything done? Drink alcohol to get to sleep? Drink several cups of coffee or energy drinks to stay awake? Eat big or sugary meals in the later evening? Have difficulty falling asleep? Have difficulty staying asleep? If you answered yes to more than three of these questions, you're probably not getting the kind of sleep you need to support health. But don't worry, because the habits of health, sleep, are going to help change all that, and not a moment too soon. To go even deeper in your habits of health sleep assessment, fill out a sleeping log. And that's one thing that I can help you do with. And I can help you figure out if you're sleeping enough, if not, what we can change. So that is actually quite important. Bright line curfews. Okay, so because we have now the artificial lights, we stay up later at night, and then we still have to get up in the morning, but we're not quite ready because we didn't get the full sleep. So there are some bright light curfews when to stop activities by. And it says 8 hours coffee, 5 hours caffeine, 4 hours exercise. That's hours before going to bed. 3 hours alcohol or heavy meals. 2 hours work and serious conversations. 1 hour digital sunset, and then in bed, lights out. So that is actually something that's been helping me tremendously. My routine is my dinner is around 5:30. Around 7:30, I have a light snack, about 100 calories, almost no sugar in it, preferably no sugar, and drinking a lot of water during the day. And also an hour before going to bed, I stop drinking a lot of water because I don't want to have to get up in the middle of the night 10 times to go to the bathroom. So those are things that are really important that we take care of it. And when I go to bed, I always read one chapter. Then I say my prayers. And yes, I'm still on the CPAP just to sleep better. And it's not that I'm snoring, but I have been having too many little stops in my breathing during the night when they diagnosed it. So they want me to stay on for a little bit longer. But the thinner I get, the healthier I get. And I'm not saying thin is healthy. I say those two are can be related or cannot be related. It depends on your metabolism. But with me, I know I'm healthy. So now I just want to, I went from a size 18 to a size 4 and I'm feeling pretty good. But I think my goal is I want to go down to a size 2 if I still feel great and still have the energy like I do right now. So those are all things that we need to find out for ourselves. What is best for us? So, yeah, this is just, it's such a deep chapter and I don't think I can go through the half of it. I will make that a second episode probably next week to continue. So actually I want to do one more. Going from full out, go to transitioning to sleep mode. In our modern world, we seem to be moving nonstop from the time we get up in the morning until we collapse on the couch in the evening, and then we mindlessly watch TV, browse the internet, or gaze at some other distracting device. We really leave so little time for a transition from full out go to a more relaxed, mellow state. The phase required to move into the conditions necessary for our best night's sleep, is it no wonder that over 80 million Americans have poor, unhealthy sleep patterns? But it isn't just the U.S. that is chronically affected insomnia. This nonstop go state, it is having a significant impact on the whole world. New data has shown that on the average, no citizens of any developed country in the world manage to achieve 8 hours of sleep on a regular basis, as the recommended range of sleep for an adult is at least 7.5 hours a night. This highlights a worrying lack of sleep worldwide. In order to effectively design a transition routine to create the highlight and the high-quality energy critical to optimal health, we again turn to structural dynamics and the creative process. So I can honestly say I usually get my 8 to 9 hours of sleep because that's what I've been working towards for the last close to five and a half years. And now comes time, as I said, dinner around 5:30, last snack around 7:30, TV off. And when I watch a movie with my husband, because that's the only time we have to be together, talk during commercials, hold hands, you know, talk about the day or whatever, something just to communicate with each other. It's so much fun. But at 8, the TV is off, and then we start winding down. I go and wash my face and brush my teeth and do my skincare and get ready. And then I read my chapter and I say my prayers. And by then, it's 8:30, 8:45. And I turn off the light after my prayer, after I put my CPAP on, turn off the light. And within minutes, usually, I'm asleep. So I would say between 9 and 9:30 at the latest, I'm always asleep. And most nights, I sleep straight through till just a few minutes before 6. At 6, my alarm goes off. And I've been waking up usually 10 to 5 minutes before then. So I'm already awake by the time the alarm goes off. So I say my prayers, read my chapter, and then I get out of bed. And the day begins with breakfast and feeling, you know, hydrating. First thing is glass of water. And that has been such a wonderful, wonderful routine for me now. It's been really working great. So I'm saying that because I know, since I have so much experience, I mean, 5.5 years, I can tell you what works and what doesn't work for me. And then you can try if it works for you or if it doesn't work for you. So that is actually the fun thing. You don't have to do everything by trial and error. You can actually learn from me, who has gone through it already and knows what's going on. So that's it for today with this. I don't want to go on because I'm going to continue next week with more information on how sleep affects stress, or not enough sleep affects stress. And we're going to go from there. So I just really want to ask you, go through the questions that I asked and evaluate. Did you say yes to 3 or more of those questions? So in order for you to figure out a few things that you might need to figure out is, you know, I always offer some gifts. And one of them is a health reset strategy session. It's a one-on-one where we talk about your health. And it's confidential, so nothing goes out. It's just between you and I. And then we can figure out where you need the most help to live a healthier life, actually lifestyle. The other one is an e-newsletter. It's a health newsletter with a healthy recipe, activity, and some other valuable information. You can choose both, so you can choose one or the other. In order to get those gifts, write to me, to my email address, coachdenise@ctdigest.net. And it's in the transcript, so you can just highlight it, copy and paste it into the URL. Make sure that the first three letters in the subject line are capital B, capital T, capital R for Blog Talk Radio. And then right behind, health strategy session, e-newsletter, both, whatever, or want to be on the show or have questions, have suggestions, anything you want to communicate. I love it to be interactive, and I definitely will read everything that I get as long as it is capitalized so I can fish it out of the spam folder. I go through it very carefully with a tooth comb to just make sure, with a toothpick, so I can make sure I don't miss anything. So I really hope I was able to shed some value, give you some value today, and we'll definitely continue next week with a little bit more, into more detail. And for today, I'm just going to say, until next week, healthy and empowered.